This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
A little something in return.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for being with us this morning. When the Federal Reserve injected hundreds of billions of dollars of crisis loans into the U.S. banking system, the goal wasn't to make a profit. It was to head off an economic disaster. Today, there are reports the central bank is actually making out quite well on some of those loans. Marketplace's Sam Eaton joins us live here in our Los Angeles studio to talk about it this morning. Good morning, Sam.
Morning, Steve.
So what's going on here?
Well, Steve, you have to remember one of the major problems during the height of the credit crunch was the fact that banks were hanging on to their cash, and that created a liquidity crisis, meaning all the short-term lending that keeps the financial systems going day-to-day essentially ground to a halt. So the central bank stepped in with its own lending program, and so far at least that's turned out to be a pretty good deal for the Fed. According to the Financial Times, the program is ranked in about $14 billion in profits.
So what does this mean for the rest of the federal bailout, Sam? I mean, are we talking a big windfall here?
Well, it hints at the possibility, Steve, but you have to remember that this is just a small part of the massive federal bailout program. And as banks recover and start lending again, the Fed's profits are quickly shrinking. And to be clear, this is also just for short-term loans. Longer term, the Fed could still take a hit on the hundreds of billions of dollars it lent to banks with so-called toxic mortgages. And there's fear that even if that works out, to the Fed's advantage, a new wave of foreclosures, this time in commercial real estate, could wipe out any chance of a rebound.
All right. Marketplace's Sam Eaton joining us here in the studio. Thanks, Sam.
Thanks, Steve.
We appreciate it. Numbers this morning and world stocks are on a slide. Shares in Europe are mostly lower right now. Markets in Frankfurt and Paris are down about 0.75%. Asian markets took it on the chin today. The Chinese benchmark lost about 7%. The Nikkei gave back about 2%. Stock futures are lower on Wall Street today. Shares went pretty much nowhere Friday. The S&P and Dow both fell about 0.25% to 0.33%. The NASDAQ, however, stayed in the green, barely. Americans are feeling better about being able to pay for health care. It's the bottom line of a Thomson Reuters survey out this morning. Researchers say people's confidence about the ability to pay for health services was up 12% between March and July of this year. But surprisingly, the most optimistic answers came from those with higher income levels and those with insurance coverage. The survey took answers from about 3,000 households.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thriven Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping its members navigate troubled economic times. Thriven.com.
Well, today, the next Japanese prime minister started putting his government together. The Democratic Party trounced the current government in elections yesterday. Let's check in with Marketplace's Scott Tong joining us from our Shanghai Bureau with more economic reaction from Asia. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning, Steve.
So what did the ruling party do to deserve this big defeat?
Well, we've talked a lot about the Japanese economy's lost decade, right? Well, if you go back to the stock market crash in Japan in 1989 and start counting from there, that means Japan has actually had two lost decades in a row. And the incumbent party, the Liberal Democratic Party, has been running Japanese politics the whole time. Now, in their defense, they also oversaw the glory days of the rise of Sony and Toyota back in the 50s and 60s. But now, a lot of people in Japan feel like, you know, maybe the country's best days are behind it. You know, whether that's true or not is a debate, obviously. But this seems to be a vote for change.
So how does a new party, Scott, plan to turn the page here?
Well, they have a lot to deal with. Japan is one of the most indebted countries in the world. It's also one of the oldest. So the new party, which is going to name a prime minister before long, it wants to encourage people to reproduce. They're promising subsidies to families. They're promising free tuition in school. Exactly how they're going to pay for all this is still a we don't know. So it has a lot of challenges ahead of it. And don't look now, but China's GDP threatens to overtake Japan in the next 1 or 2 years.
And speaking of which, Scott, Shanghai stocks fell like, what, almost 7% today? Any connection with that?
No, at least not according to the market analysts here in China. Late last year, the Chinese leadership rolled out this great big stimulus package. You can think of it as a great big fire engine shooting water at the fire. Liquidity is what the folks in the markets call it. And in China, it comes in the form of banks lending a lot quickly. Now, the word on the street now is the economy has been resuscitated and the spigot's being squeezed quickly. And investors think that's going to hurt companies' profits and their company stock prices. I do have to tell you, Steve, that most American investors are not allowed into the Chinese stock market, so there may be no direct connection, but they certainly could be influenced by the mood out here.
All right, Marketplace's Scott Tong joining us from our bureau in Shanghai. Scott, thanks.
Okay.
It could happen as early as this week. General Motors is in final negotiations to sell America's most infamous sport utility brand, Hummer, to a heavy equipment maker in southwest China. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman wonders how different Hummer will look, Chinese style.
Not much, at least at first. Hummer would be owned by the Chinese, but the hulking SUVs would still be made in the U.S., saving about 3,000 auto worker jobs. Analyst George Magliano at IHS Global Insight says the Chinese are muscling into the U.S. auto industry for one simple reason.
American technology.
Magliano says the Chinese are on a crash course in car making so they can feed their exploding market and take on the world.
Companies in China get into the auto business left and right. They're looking to buy their way in and buy the expertise.
The change in ownership won't make much difference to Ray Sokolo either. He owns a Hummer dealership in suburban Boston. He says sales are down from their heyday, but as long as someone's making and marketing Hummers, he'll have buyers.
A customer that does an awful lot of off-road driving. The other is a customer that just wants to drive something different.
And doesn't mind driving around more than 6,000 pounds of steel that gets about 12 miles to the gallon. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Finally, as pizza goes in Chicago, thin is getting a bigger piece of the pie. Several dozen cafes and restaurants have opened in recent years featuring cracker or pastry crusts. They're making a run for the Uno's or Gino's East crowd that can get stuffed after just one or two slices. Some pizza bakers attribute the new pies to more people coming in from out of town, spending money on food they used to get where they used to live, and not having a wheelbarrow handy to drag the family home after dinner. In Los Angeles, home of the tofu pizza and sprouts, I'm Steve Chiotakis. Thanks for being with us. Have a great day.
American Public Media. The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.